Welcome to the CodeCast Podcast. Real-world insights for your daily medical coding and billing processes. And now, here's your host, Terry Fletcher.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the CodeCast Podcast today. My name is Terry Fletcher. We are at the 176th episode of the CodeCast, and today is March 9th, 2021. So my topic today is I'm going to clear up the confusion on virtual check-in codes. And since they are G codes created by Medicare, I like to call them G, we're watching you, because G codes are temporary solutions. They're tracked by Medicare to determine if they need to make them a Category 1 CPT code. But they are codes that have been kind of thrown at us over the last couple of years. And we got a couple more in 2021. And they're used differently than you may think. And so there's some conflicting information out there as far as when you would use them. So we just want to make sure that we're kind of understanding how to use those virtual check-in codes and making sure that you are accurate. So first, let's take a look at the G2012. So the G2012 basically is a virtual check-in by a provider that can report directly to the payer. So they can report directly to Medicare. So it would be a physician or an MD or DO or a nurse practitioner PA. And basically, it's if a patient comes in, and again, G2012, so pretend it's the year 2012, and it is a patient, let's say, that has frequent urinary tract infections. I think I've used this example before. And they have not been seen in your office for about a month. And then all of a sudden they call, and because they feel one coming on, they call your office and they speak, let's say, to a nurse practitioner. And they say, you know, I'm having trouble, but I don't really feel like I want to come in for a visit. Can you just call in, you know, Augmentin or the antibiotic I had last time because that worked? And the nurse practitioner has to document at least 5 to 10 minutes, and it's a timed visit, 5 to 10 minutes of the virtual care, the conversation, make sure that they get a consent for the patient, that they can talk to them about medical. And then they can, and then they have to put down what the conversation was. So patient called with a URI recurrence. That worked last time to give them a prescription for Augmentin, make sure you give the dosage, et cetera. And then say that you call it in for the patient. Now, what's important about this is that those codes are clear that it says that you can't come back in. So it can originate from a related E&M service within the past 7 days, and it can't lead to a soonest available appointment or another appointment within the next 24 hours. So it means you can't tell the patient, now let us know how that works for you, and then you can come in and make an appointment. That's not what the virtual check-in is. It basically means they don't have to come in. So make sure that you are instructing your nurse practitioners, PAs, and physicians that if you do any kind of a virtual check-in that's 5 to 10 minutes, that you're going to let the patient know that, okay, so let's keep your appointment in 3 months. Unless you have a problem, we don't need to see you. Let's say the patient does need to come in. Let's say that, you know, you're concerned, you want to adjust a medication. You're like, you know, let's have them come in anyway. Let's say it's a blood pressure situation and you're concerned because it was so high. Then you would not bill the virtual check-in. You would just bill the E&M encounter once they came back to the office. And so remember, the virtual check-in is instead of coming to the office. There's another code, G2010. Now what that is a video check-in, a virtual check-in. So what that is a patient that basically, let's say they had pink eye or something like that, and they knew, and let's say it was a kid, we use this a lot with ophthalmology and primary care, and the mother takes a photocopy of it or basically on her phone, takes a picture of it, and then sends it to the primary care physician and says, what is this? And they say, oh yeah, this is pink eye. I'm going to call in a steroid, make sure that the drops go in, you know, and those work right away. And they don't want the patient coming into the office because that is so contagious. And so basically they call it in, and that's what they can use or uses the G2010. Now, if it is pediatric or if it isn't Medicare age, make sure that you're verifying with the payer that they do cover that, because some of the payers are actually covering some of the G codes that Medicare puts out. And it's hit or miss. You'd have to call to verify. But let's say it was a Medicare patient and they fell and they got a bump on their head and they took a phone photo, or let's say they're you know, daughter did and sent it over and said, this is, you know, I'm with my mom now. She's Medicare age. Is this a concern? Should they go to the hospital? I'm like, no, it just looks like a scratch. Hopefully they wouldn't do that with a bump on the head. But if they did, or if it was something, let's say on the wrist, let's change that. Then that's what that is. That's just a quick, you know, video or picture or whatever that reflects that. They just wanted to show a visual to the physician, not in real time, but basically as a photo assessment. And, you know, the provider is allowed to respond back either with a text on those or a portal response. So just make sure you know those two. Now, we've had two more services come up in 2021, and one is G2252 and G2251. So let me explain both of those. So G2252 is basically brief communication technology for a patient. Again, it's a virtual check-in, but what this is 11 to 20 minutes. And so this is now a greater than the 5 to 10 minutes that the G2012 had, but this is by a physician or the qualified healthcare professional who can report E&M services directly to the payer provided to an established patient. Now they're very clear on that, not originating from an original, from a related E&M service within the last week, so 7 days. And again, not having the patient come in to the soonest available appointment. This is for the 11 to 20 minute medical discussion. And so, and these codes, just so you know, they're going to stay after the public health emergency ends. So you really need to know them because you're missing the boat if you're not, you know, really looking at these codes. These were effective as of 1/1/2021. The other two that I gave you were effective in 2017. And so those have been effective for 4 years. These are now since January. And so this is almost similar to the G2012, but instead of 5 to 10 minutes, this is now 11 to 20 minutes, where there just needs to be more discussion with the patient to determine if they need to come in. Now, these are time-based codes. You know, they say 5 to 10 minutes or 11 to 20 minutes medical discussion. You have to include time. If your physician doesn't, then you're kind of out of luck when it comes to these services. Now, a new code that we got for 2021 was also a G2251. Now, there's been some confusion on this one. Let me be clear on this one because of what it says. It says brief communication technology based service, virtual check-in by a qualified healthcare professional who cannot report E&M services. And it says provided to an established patient not originating from a related E&M service within the past 7 days or leading to a service or for them to come into the office within the next 24 hours or soonest available. That doesn't mean you're MA. That doesn't mean you're RN. What that means, and they actually outlined it, it's kind of like the phone call codes. It's for physical therapists, occupational therapists, speech language pathologists, whether in private practice or facility based. So that's what those codes were for. Again, not for your patients or for your RNs or your LVNs or medical assistants. Now, here's what came out on these codes as well for therapy providers. And I thought this was interesting. So as of January 1st, 2021, actually implemented on January 4th, the two codes that I just mentioned, the G2251 and G2252, because those are both for our G2251 and G2250 now. The G2250 is actually the G2010 code that is for the anyone that is not a provider that can relate it themselves. So here's something that's interesting when it comes to these services. So, and it's also for follow-up. One of the things that you have to keep in mind here is that there are codes that are going to exist that they're going to say this code is replaced with for this code, but it doesn't mean it's deleted. So let me explain. Okay, so the G2010, the video one I talked about, well, the HCPCS code G2250, remote assessment of recorded video or images submitted by an established patient, they call it store and forward, including interpretation with follow-up to the patient within 24 business hours, not originating from an original service, and then again, not leading to another service. It says HCPCS code G2250 was replaced HCPCS code G2010. It only replaced replaced it for therapy. It only replaced it for therapy. So that you have to understand that. And it says these codes are no longer restricted by the public health emergency timeline. So these are going to be permanent. The G2251, again, it says that replaced G2012, but for therapy. So physical therapist, occupational therapist, speech language therapy pathology. So those two codes, you have to know that those were replaced, the virtual check-in G2010 and G2012, that only can be used by physicians and nurse practitioners, PAs. These codes are for therapy providers. Now, here's something interesting. Is that there are other codes that are related for qualified non-physician healthcare professionals, and they were created by ACPT in 2020, and those are the 98970, 71, and 72 codes. And those codes basically are for digital assessments, like through the portal, et cetera, and it's cumulative time. Well, those digital assessments used to be the G2061 and G2062 and 63, and the descriptions were similar. And these, again, are portal for the non-physician healthcare professional. Again, therapists, anybody, dietitians for diabetic patients, nutritionists, diabetic patients. I say that because there's diagnosis related, not for MAs, not for RNs. You know, really stop with the ancillary staff. Look at your list under telehealth, and these are restricted to telehealth. So those patients are, that's as long as telehealth is still there, that's when those can be billed for. So what CMS did is they said these are what we call sometimes therapy codes, effective for the duration of the PHE for COVID-19. So we just want you to be aware that there are codes that crosswalk. There are some of the G codes that have been, they haven't been retired, but they've changed in their use. And then they replace some of the codes to increase the time, but again, change in their use. So the codes that are still effective are G2012, MD, DO, NP, PA, G2010, again, MD, DO, NP, PA, G2252 and G2251 for therapy providers, and also for dietitians and nutritionists, and then G2250 for the remote assessment recorded video. That's the interchangeable G2010. Again, if it's a therapy or an approved provider that can't bill directly to the payer, these still have to be billed under a physician. So there still has to be a physician supervised. And then phone call codes basically are digital codes. I want to go back in place for that. And these codes basically are that sometimes therapy assessment where they said the 98970 for the digital. They also added the telephone assessment during the PHE only. And so they're looking at some of these descriptors saying that, you know, the 98970 to 98972, the CPT editorial panel, they're allowing the therapy providers for this, and they have not mentioned yet if that'll be past PHE. But the 98966 to 98967 codes for sometimes therapy phone audio only assessment, that's only during PHE and only for COVID related situations. So really make sure you're reading through, because sometimes it'll say for COVID, sometimes it'll say just during the public health emergency, and sometimes it'll say this code replaces this code, and then it won't expand until you actually read the bottom of the bulletin that comes out. And so here, I mean, a perfect example, I'm looking at this bulletin, and it's MedLearn Matters 12126, and it says related change request 12126. And it says we're removing the following HCPCS codes from the therapy code list, effective for dates of service on or after January 1st, 2021. G2010, 12, 61, 62, 63. It didn't remove it from the payable list. It removed it from the therapy list. So make sure that when you are looking at G codes, looking at virtual check-ins, that you look at those annual updates to certain codes. Know if it's just during the public health emergency. Understand if there's a dual meaning for those codes. And then know your providers. I'm getting a lot of information where nobody's actually doing their due diligence on the providers. They're saying, well, it just says it's for somebody who can't bill an E&M service. Okay, but that doesn't mean they just open it up for a free-for-all that, you know, a medical assistant can now report a code. So be very cautious with this. And now let's get to our coding question. Hopefully that helped with your G code, and you can also pull up that MedLearn Matters bulletin. So our coding question says, "Hi, Terry, we are an orthopedic practice that recently acquired a new physician, and he brought his patient population with him." Okay. We have been billing these as new patient visits, and starting to see denials. The tax ID is different, so why are these being denied? Our other physicians that are seeing these patients have never seen these patients before, and this physician is now new to our practice. When you look at the new versus established patient visits, and if you actually go back to your CPT book, we're going to go back to fundamentals here. You look at page 6 of the professional edition, and it says, a new patient is one who has not received any professional services from the physician or qualified healthcare professional or another physician or qualified healthcare professional of the exact same specialty and subspecialty who belongs to the same group practice within the past 3 years. Now, that definition doesn't say or if the tax ID changes. It just says within the same specialty. Remember, if you pick up a physician or you have one acquired or you have one join your practice from another practice and the physician comes with, your physicians now are now kind of linked to that physician. It's called kind of guilt by association. And all those patients continue to be established unless there's that 3-year rule there. So please don't mix that up. That's why they're getting denials. Now, let's just say that you purchased the practice, but the physician retired and didn't come with the practice. That's different because now they haven't seen anybody in your practice and that doctor's not following. And so now it is a patient just like if they would leave that doctor and go find another physician. And so because not all those patients are going to come with anyway. So that would be considered a new patient. And so you have to know the rules on that and make sure you're not reading into the rules about tax IDs and, you know, different payer coverages. Has nothing to do with that. It has to do when the last face-to-face was with the physician who's part of your practice. And so that would be correct on the payer part, and they need to go back and rebill all those as established patient visits. So that's why that's being denied. Our coding question is brought to you today by Keck Medicine of USC. Over 500 nationally renowned doctors at a leading academic medical center, keeping you healthy, on track, and doing the things you love. The Keck Effect, keckmedicine.org. So I'm going to end with my personal tidbit this week. And some of you may or may not like it, but I'm actually so happy for a light at the end of the tunnel. So we are now at, as of today, 7 states that have opened up with no restrictions. Kids get to go back to school in most of those states in a couple of weeks. Some have already been back 100%. And there's no mask mandate. There's a light at the end of this tunnel. Now, let me explain what that means, because some of you are going to be like, this is ridiculous. Okay, calm down for a second, because I know I do get some of you that get upset about this. So for those of you that are still nervous or afraid of what could happen, which is natural, remember, I've had COVID. I know how awful it can be. It's been over a year now, and I'm still having lingering effects. It sucks. I know that. But remember, this is a free country. You can still wear your mask. You can still stay home, and you can still self-quarantine without the government telling you you have to do so. If that's how you feel, we are a free country of choice, and we haven't been that way in a long time, let's face it. But now with 4 vaccine options, 15% of the population has been vaccinated, and we get 1 million vaccines done a day. Over 18 million cases of COVID have recovered. We have a 97% recovery rate for those who get sick, 71% decrease in hospitalization. And the biggest thing is now we know how to treat the sick, and having those treatments available. We need to stop suicide, abuse. We need to get kids back to school, not just for education, but which is a big deal. But some kids only get a meal when they go to school. Also, elective surgeries have been just stalled. And we have people out there with cancer, you know, with real terrible things going on in their bodies. And we need to get them back on the schedule. Not to mention the economy, people with depression, losing their businesses, their livelihood, and it's really time to get the country moving again. But my biggest thing is our kids have suffered long enough. So please do what's best for you. You know, we always say, do you. Do what's best for you and your health and your well-being. And if you're a high-risk person, you need to stay home and you need to self, you know, quarantine. You need to mask up. You need to do what works for you. I support that 100%, but I also support others in doing what's best for them. So please keep that in mind as you navigate through this, you know, normalcy that we're dealing with. I think that the, you know, the pandemic as it is probably going to last a while longer, and we're going to see ups and downs during that, during the whole course of it. But we can't stop living, and we've been quarantined and stopped for over a year now, and it's hurting our kids. And for those of you that don't have small kids anymore, you know, I have a daughter who is a middle school teacher. Last year, she said, you know, at the end of the last semester, and she started in September, so at the end of the last semester, and this happened in California too, all the kids were told, just, you know, don't worry about your work. It won't change your grade. You don't have to turn it in. You don't have to do it. This is terrible, and we feel for you. Well, a lot of those kids basically stopped learning, and their parents didn't make them turn anything in, which just makes my head spin. And so a lot of kids didn't even finish graduation. It was awful. Well, kids learn behavior when it's a routine. So then in the fall, when a lot of states didn't have them opened up, then they said, well, why do I have to turn it in now anyway? And they are distracted on Zoom calls. They can't focus in school compared to those kids that got to go back to school. And now that they're back, my daughter was telling me she had some kids that were at 16% because nobody made them turn in their homework. They didn't have to. But now that they're back, she was so excited. And my daughter has always been a Stepford student because I'm so strict about it. She said some of those kids actually brought their grades up to C's. She goes, it was such a great feeling being back for the last 3 weeks. And they're so happy with themselves. She says, I'm showing them the small victories and how important that is. So I know I'm on a rant, and I know I'm probably on a soapbox here, but please start thinking about, you know, our kids as well. I know the elderly, there's some vulnerable people out there. Our kid population is not one of them. They are less than 0.0001% as far as contracting it. And they're so much safer being in an area where they don't have people coming in and out of their home that are older. So just think about that. I know I kind of went on a rant there, but I have such an investment in our children in this country, and any of the philanthropic things that I do, the things I set up for scholarships and really looking at kids just being successful, I think it's important that we keep that in mind. So anyway, I hope everyone has a great rest of your week. Stay positive, embrace the light at the end of the tunnel. And that's it for me this week. So make it a great day, a great week, and I'll talk to you next week on the CodeCast podcast. Thanks for listening.
For more information on medical coding, billing, auditing, and compliance, including how to hire Terry, follow Terry on Twitter at @TerryCoder1 or visit her website at www.terryfletcher.net. Podcast producer Joe Kuzma. Music producer Dasassin Music.